about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello, Kevin B. Listener. This is Omar, a.k.a. Homar. Yes, it is true. I am very good looking. But we're not here to talk about me and my hotness.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Ever since I can remember, I was popping my collar, popping my collar.
Pluto is, has been, and will always be the ninth planet.
Why would we make Pluto a planet again? We've already rectified that mistake.
Mistake? Hasn't Pluto been through enough already?
Eris is bigger.
By 15 miles. By your logic, why don't we make everything a planet? Why don't we make that Nativity Jesus a planet?
Why don't we make your forehead a planet?
And now.
There are two kinds of people in this world, and you ain't one of them.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 5th of September. Hey, kids.
Morning.
Yellow.
What's up? What? Already?
I'm
trying to move on. Behind the scenes, Kevin and Ali are overhearing stories about the president. But you expect me to do a radio show without talking about Sharpiegate. And I don't know how to do it.
I don't know if it's a political story as much as it is like a Florida story that we would normally tell.
Yes.
Or it's an animal story.
It's a Florida story. Or it's a story... Kevin, you don't watch the news because you're a kid.
No.
Are you familiar with
By the way, nor do I want to because I don't like politics at all. But I'm not familiar with this.
As
no.
Jensen says, this is
okay.
Not really a political story.
You know how we do that people are dumb feature?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Allie, would you allow Sharpiegate?
Sure, but be sure to email Bean when you say, why do you always talk about political stuff? Because regardless that you're telling the story, mm-hmm. I will get the emails about how this show is only political since I joined.
And this show is barely political.
Yeah,
We may mention politics once every 3 weeks.
You
we
know
may
that doesn't matter, though.
It doesn't matter. And the fact that you're saying it, again, doesn't matter. But please, proceed.
But it's Sharpiegate.
I can't wait for Sharpiegate. Let's have it.
Jensen, you want to tell her or should I?
I'll chime in. I'll give the seasoning. Okay. You go ahead.
So, obviously, the topic of Hurricane Dorian is very serious. And the president is right to be on top of it. He canceled his trip to Poland so that he could, golf and keep an eye on the news.
Mm-hmm.
So, he mistakenly, at one point last week, was talking about the potential targets for Hurricane Dorian. Now, obviously, Florida was the most concerned, and the state of Florida got very, very lucky that it never came on shore. It still hasn't come on shore. It's a slow-moving hurricane that is now in the Carolinas and still has not come on shore.
It's still like almost stopping at times.
Yeah, and it's the craziest weather phenomenon we've ever seen. But at one point, he mistakenly, in the list of states that needed to be prepared, mentioned Alabama. Now, Alabama is way too far inland to have been affected by this storm, beyond perhaps some way outer band showers. That was it. So Alabama was in no danger.
Right.
So he said that, and because he's the president, people took that seriously because they figured he had access to the best information. Well, a few minutes after that, the National Weather Service put out a bulletin that said Alabama is in no danger from the storm. That is not happening. Don't worry about it. Alabama, you're fine. Keep being Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm. Keep being Alabama was the end of the email.
That's what they said, right. So an ABC reporter reported on this saying, oh, the president said Alabama, but clearly Alabama is not in the path of the storm, according to the National Weather Service. What up? And then the president just lashed out at that reporter about how ABC News was fake news and she should be fired and it was wrong and it was bad. And okay, like he does every time somebody, points something out. Okay, so now we get to Sharpiegate. So yesterday in his office, he's talking about the update on the storm. And I don't know why the president is the guy giving updates on the storm. I feel like FEMA, maybe. I feel like the National Weather Service.
Even Fritz Coleman would be higher on the
take it easy.
Priority.
Okay,
yeah, I feel like he's not the guy who should be doing it. So he pulls out, Kevin, from behind his desk, a map of the southeastern United States.
Okay.
That from a couple of days ago that shows the potential path of the hurricane going up the East Coast. And it has I don't know, a little balloon coming off the hurricane showing the area that may be affected by it, or God forbid it goes inland, actually may have a hurricane.
Okay.
Somebody took a Sharpie and extended the range of where the hurricane might hit.
Somebody.
Into mm-hmm. the state of Alabama. Wait. Somebody added a little Sharpie bubble around the little bubble that was on the actual map to make Alabama
like
part of it.
Like a little tip.
But wasn't the bubble on the map a complete like
yeah.
circle?
Different
and
color.
Then, so they had to add to it?
Another color. And then a black color. Sharpie circle on top of it. Yeah.
So that Alabama would be part of it.
And because... to someone's credit, someone asked, why yes. is there a Sharpie? Why is there a Sharpie penned section? Uh-huh. And he said, I don't know.
He said, I don't know, three times. And again, hey, reporters, how about a follow-up? What do you mean you don't know? You received this. How was it changed by the time we came to do the story?
Yeah.
That's the follow-up. Mm. You let people get away with lies, and they keep lying.
Yes, correct.
Congratulations.
So
let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
Right. But the point is, Kevin, the president of the United States, or on the president's instructions,
yeah. mm-hmm.
added a Sharpie to a map to make it look like Alabama at one time was in the path of the storm because he mistakenly said it 4 days ago and will not admit that he was wrong on that. Instead is lashing out
so
at people.
Oh, so this is a backup for something he said.
Yes.
Yes. Gotcha. Because he's the one who put Alabama in the path of the storm where it wasn't. So now he's saying, hey, without pointing it out, look at all this proof I have that at one point Alabama was in danger.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
This happened for real.
Yeah, like if that was on Veep, you'd laugh.
You go, no, make it more realistic.
Yeah, it'd yes. be good writing, but yeah. it would never happen.
Too far.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you can pull that off, though?
I don't know, but I know you're going to have a heart attack mm-hmm. and a stroke at the same time.
Right.
Because you watch it so closely.
You didn't have to pay very close attention yesterday for
nope.
Sharpie Gate.
I'm not saying Sharpie Gate only, but I'm saying mm-hmm. in the 2 years leading up to Sharpie Gate.
Right.
Every minute of your life is spent on this.
And I know this is shocking. This afternoon, there will be something else.
I know.
For you to freak out about, and no one will remember Sharpie Gate.
But why... But how can people look at that and go, keep doing what you're doing? Thumbs up.
I mean,
Allie at KRock.com. Allie at KRock.com.
No, this is a bean thing.
If you got the answer. I mean, that was worth it, right, Kevin?
I mean, Sharpie Gate's pretty strong.
Too late. Trolls are in motion.
But unfortunately, Allie's right in that this will be forgotten maybe by today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it will.
Because there's something else.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I just thought
it was pretty spectacular.
One of the most amazing things that I've ever seen with my own eyes. That's all.
All right. Good times.
USA.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yes, sir, Jesus. I will do it.
Dr. Drew's on the show today like we do on Thursdays.
Yeah.
We also do Get Up on This with Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
We have Allie McKay Dream Interpreter.
Oh, I need her.
Yeah,
both,
me too.
Both Bean and Jensen need help.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So, Allie's, I got to tell you, she's pretty spot on.
Thank you, Kevin.
It's a little scary.
Thank you, Kevin.
Muggs, haven't you been having a recurring dream as well?
Oh, my God. It's every month.
Throw them in the mix.
Okay, throw them in the mix. Allie, it's one-stop shopping. She'll take care of all of us today.
Mm-hmm. We've got tickets for you to see.
Yeah.
Woo! We've got tickets to see Tool to give you today.
Mm-hmm.
We have RJ Bell because it's week one of his picks in the NFL.
Yay!
Can't wait. Love RJ. Excited about the season.
And we have Steve Aoki.
Wow.
In studio talking about his new book, Blue, the Color of Noise. Which is an autobiography, and odd that it's so... What is it, 198 pages?
It's not long.
It's
but it's also important to address that it's B-L-U-E.
Yes.
That's a great point, Jensen.
We'll take a break. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55. What?
What happened there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. Hey, Allie.
Hey.
What's happening on this Thursday morning?
Remember when we talked about Kevin Hart getting into that accident and... Wow, it just seemed weird. Like, why do you have someone come pick you up from an accident?
We had a lot of questions.
Yes. Now we have even more questions.
Uh-oh.
Because TMZ spoke to the witness that was first on scene and called 911.
Mm-hmm.
And he told them that he thought Kevin was driving because he saw Kevin's security guard remove him through the driver's side window.
Uh-oh.
And then he walked up to the roadside. The caller says when Kevin got up to the road, he looked right at him, looked at the security guard, and then said, "Who the F is this?" He and Kevin then left in an Escalade, took off.
Lies, lies, and more lies, and lies on top of lies.
CHP says when they arrived on the scene, Jared was in the driver's seat.
But stuck there, was he not? That's what we heard, is that he was stuck in the driver's seat, meaning how could they have switched or whatever? Don't know.
I don't know. TMZ has obtained the 911 call made from Kevin's home at 2:13 a.m. An unknown female caller says Kevin was in really bad shape. She said he's been in an accident, needs someone to come get him, and he's not coherent at all.
Wasn't this like 2 hours after the accident?
She said he can't move and had injured something on his back. She also said the accident happened 20 minutes ago. Weird, because the accident happened at 12:45 a.m.
Okay. And you said what, 2:03?
2:13.
This is getting weirder, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still a little tipsy, but the world can kiss my ass.
It's not looking great, you guys, truth, first of all. But here's an interesting thing. Kevin Hart was supposed to appear on the premiere episode of Kelly Clarkson's new talk show, The Kelly Clarkson Show, which premieres on Monday, September 9th. He can't make it. He's
stuck in a car.
Just had surgery on his back. So who steps in?
Jared, the guy he switched spots with?
No, I think he's still in the hospital.
He's still in the car.
Good that you knew his name was Jared, though.
Well, I remembered because I was like, Jared's a tough name these days.
Right? It really is.
Yeah. Here's who's stepping in. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Hey.
Who, by the way, returning from his honeymoon to replace Kevin Hart on the show. Here's what he tweeted. When my son, Kevin Hart, goes down with an injury, his big daddy steps in. I did leave my honeymoon early. Lauren approves because she loves Kelly. Lauren, his new wife, and said, and now me and Kelly are new best friends. Which I feel like if anything good came out of this, The Rock and Kelly Clarkson now are best friends.
Okay.
I think they can do anything together.
The Rock's a better booking.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Do you think Kelly Clarkson was like, oh, no, we don't have Kevin Hart? And then the producer's like, don't worry, we got The Rock. And she's like, wait, we could have had The Rock anyway? That's unbelievable. So, yeah, just a little update to the...
That's a confusing little story.
Kevin Hart. We have not heard the end of this for sure.
No. Let's talk about some birthdays, you guys. Rose McGowan, Michael Keaton. By the way, someone in this room was very mad at her alarm. I'm the only she in this room, so it's me. The other morning, when I was in the middle of a dream where I was sitting next to Michael Keaton on a plane, we were talking about where we were going. He didn't know a lot of people there. Oh, maybe we could meet up for dinner, something like that. And I was like, that sounds amazing.
So you're hitting it off.
Oh, hitting it off. Best conversation. And then, beep, 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 beep. Yeah, that was for sure going to happen in my dream, because that's how I feel about Michael Keaton. Top five list of men. I love him so much. My goddamn alarm went off.
Oh, that beeping.
I thought I could murder an alarm. I could murder it. It's plastic. So
it's like walking out of a movie right when it gets to the most exciting part.
Oh, exactly. But I can't go back into that movie.
Right, true.
Which sucks.
I can dream interpret that one.
Oh, let's hear it.
You're horny.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Well, I can totally
well done.
That.
That's it.
And drummer for Rage Against the Machine, Audioslave, and currently Prophets of Rage, Brad Wilk. Happy birthday. And
makes me sad, but I almost never remember my dreams.
I don't either.
Huh.
Almost never. But I did have one the other night, Allie, and it was very strange to me. Mm. And I remembered that we have on the program an actual expert, Allie McKay, dream interpreter.
Why can't my boobs get bigger?
Allie Dream Interpreter.
Woo! Don't pull out.
Allie Dream Interpreter.
Smell it.
Allie Dream Interpreter. Come on now.
We should take out some of those drops that don't fit. Because
a
that
lot
makes,
of them, yeah, yeah, I mean, don't really fit.
Let's go ahead and change
it's
that.
Weird, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Kevin, for
no
understanding.
Worries. Absolutely.
It's awesome.
I'm happy to help.
All I have to do is just mention it, and you're going to take care of
sure,
it.
Sure, I'm sure it'll be gone the next time.
Cool.
That's hurtful, you guys. One of the things that's so frustrating for me and for anybody who has dreams is, why does there have to be so much GD symbolism in dreams? Why can't it just be what it is? Why does something like have to stand in
it?
For something else?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just trying to figure out why dreams work that way. You
okay.
know, like when somebody's falling, you'll often hear, oh, you feel like your life is out of control. Why can't your life just be out of control in the dream? You know what I mean?
Just
why
all the symbolism? Giant billboard that says your life is out of control?
All right, so Allie, I woke up and I actually remembered this one, and it's very bizarre to me, but apparently I was Agent Mulder for the last season of the X-Files.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay.
So the X-Files came back.
Imagine
you know,
if Bean was Agent Mulder for that whole series.
Right. For that for the highly acclaimed you know, reboot. So I for whatever reason, Dave Duchovny didn't get the job or didn't want the job or something like that. So I apparently auditioned and I got the job. So the whole last season of The X-Files, I was Agent Mulder, okay?
Okay.
All right. And then it gets weird.
Oh, so, then it gets weird. Uh-huh.
So Fox, was it Fox? Was it Fox? So mm-hmm. Fox
yes.
decides they're going to do another new season. And they call me up and they go, okay, you're still Agent Mulder. You still have the job, but you need to audition. It's a formality, but you need to audition because we have to see other people also to play Agent Mulder.
Okay. Maybe
so,
there's a better one out there.
Don't worry about it. It's yours, but we have to go through the process. And I was so mad at that. I'm like, I'm Fox Mulder. Okay?
He really took that on in one season.
I did. Yeah. I'm Fox Mulder. Nobody else can come in here and take my job away from me. Screw it. I don't want to be on the next series of The X-Files. So I refused to audition, and they ended up getting somebody else to play Agent Mulder. So, Allie, please interpret that dream for me, would you?
It's so simple, Bean.
Wow.
First of all, what was The X-Files about?
Well, it was about the search for the truth.
Uh-huh. The mm-hmm. unknown, really,
yeah, sure.
is what it was.
Aliens, a lot.
A lot. But the whole theme was the unknown. They're
That's right.
The truth is out there.
That's right.
What are you in search of very soon?
A job?
A new job. You're uh-huh. nervous about the future. It's all the great unknown. So you get this gig, you're kicking ass at it, and then they want you to audition for another one. That gig that you got has been radio your whole life.
Right.
Now you're going to move to England, and they have the audacity to have you sit in there and, I have to actually audition for this? Give me a break. I've done it for 30 years. Or...
Wait, I thought that was perfect.
I was buying it.
Or, like most men and women, you just want a bone jillion.
I mean, that's true, too.
Is that probably it?
That's probably both.
The end?
Well, that's definitely true when I'm awake, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why it wouldn't be when I'm asleep.
But I think mostly the job part.
Okay, all right.
You're just, you're nervous, and it's seeping into your dreams, which makes perfect sense.
I just, again, I don't know why the X-Files were involved.
Because it's the unknown. You're stepping into a part of your life that you have no control over right now.
I tell you, Allie's really good at this.
She's really good at this.
Thank you.
Okay.
Allie Dream Interpreter.
Real quick, let's hit Jensen's before we have to take a break, and then we're going to give you some tool tickets.
Okay.
This is not as detailed.
Okay.
And this is not a bit. 95% of my dreams take place in a casino or shopping mall. Almost every, and not, it doesn't always have to just take place in just those spots, mm-hmm. but I always end up at some point in a casino or shopping mall, and I am rushing mm-hmm. to get something done or find someone within these two commerce centers.
Simple. A mall.
She can't be stumped, you guys.
A mall represents choices, tons of different stores around. You're not going to one specific store that's not in a mall because you need all of those choices. You want to be able to make the decision once you're there, but you want to see everything around you so you know you're making the right decision. You are struggling right now with a bunch of things happening, and you have to figure out which choice you want to make. The casino. Well, that represents risk, Jensen.
Okay.
And you are afraid that you are doing something and you're going to make the wrong decision. Oh, do I risk it? Because you don't know the outcome of that decision. So you're like, oh, do I play my whole hand here or do I do this? So guess what? You also love Orange Julius.
I do love Orange Julius.
Yeah.
She Again, has, both are right.
Yeah, that is
a lot
the takeaway.
A lot of that spoke to me, but nothing as much as the Orange Julius
Thank
part.
You. You're welcome, you guys.
You do a good job with that. Dream interpreter.
Woo! Nailed it.
All right, here's the deal, you guys. Tool is coming back to Southern California for the first time in 9 years. We want you to be there. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Looking for Tool fans, like always. If you want to see him at Staples Center, you will have to play a game, and we'll play that game with you.
Got a complaint yesterday from a listener who says that video for Doing Time, all about Long Beach, none of it was filmed in Long Beach. I haven't sourced him on that.
Interesting.
But he seemed very upset.
Okay. Good use of your time, sir.
Because right. Apparently all of the problems of the world have been settled.
Correct, yes.
Hey, you guys, it's Tool time. Giving away some tickets to see Tool at Staples Center on the 20th or 21st of October. The game is called Name That Tool. Can you name that tool? Tool! If you do, you'll rule. Rule! Because you'll go see Tool. Just name that.
Name that tool. Tool. Name that tool. Tool. Allie, didn't we already play this game where people identified chainsaws and weed whackers?
We did. Yeah, we would play a clip and you'd be like, oh my gosh, that's a vibrator. And then you would go in the drawing to win tickets. This is a little different.
Okay.
I am going to describe a person that most likely you think is a tool.
Yeah.
And what's a tool? Like a D-bag. Maybe somebody with a big ego that shouldn't have one. Someone that just kind of treats people like, ugh.
All right.
You know what a tool
sure,
is. You
of course,
see a
sure.
guy and you're like, what a tool.
A genuine Absolutely. POS.
A genuine POS.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm going to describe them. Wait until it's all done because some will have audio clues and some might throw you off. So don't just interrupt and say the name. Because you're going to be wrong.
All right.
And I want to help you.
Let's start with Chris in West Hills. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Hey, Chris. I'm going to ask you the name of this tool. He's an Emmy Award-winning actor from a show made up of tools. But his character, Ari Gold, on Entourage was perhaps the king of all tools. He's said to eat fish 2 times a day for the past 20 years. He dropped out of the Broadway show Speed the Plow due to mercury poisoning. But producers claim he just wanted out and breached his contract. But that's a lot of fish. Who is this tool?
Would that be Jeremy Piven?
It would be, Chris.
Name that tool.
You are in the drawing.
Nicely
Good job.
Done.
He's very tool-y.
He's a super tool.
Straight up tool.
All right. Is it Yvonne in La Puente?
Yes.
Hey, Yvonne. All right. I'm going to ask you to name this tool that we first got to know on TV back when he starred in The Hills. He's since tried to shed his tool persona. He married his former and current Hills co-star. He shares videos of hummingbirds and sells crystals now. But I mostly remember him of how he explained that you can't pick your family.
We're not friends. We're brother and sister. We're not going to be friends. We're brother and sister. That's it. At the end of the day, I can't change. I can't make you un-my sister. You can't call the brother-sister line and say, hey, I don't want Stephanie to be my sister anymore. I can't do that. The phone doesn't work. I tried.
He tried, you
he
guys.
He did try.
Yvonne, who is that tool?
I don't know his name.
Oh, you know what? We should reward these people for not knowing his
you're
name.
You're so right.
Yeah.
You're so. But you can picture that face, which may be more annoying than not winning. And I'm sorry, Yvonne. That tool is Spencer Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you for the call.
He now sells crystals is enough to call anyone,
yeah. right?
Yeah, I could end all of these with, he now sells crystals.
Our next contestant is Tanya in Calabasas. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning.
Hey, Tanya, this tool made millions off of Girls Gone Wild, mostly chicks flashing the camera, kissing other girls, which in the late 90s and early 2000s seemed real risque. But according to his Wikipedia page, she's done a lot to earn him the title of Tool. At various times, he's been convicted of tax evasion, bribery, false imprisonment, assault causing great bodily injury, dissuading a witness, and record-keeping violations, and has pled no contest to child abuse and prostitution. What? Who is this Tool?
I 110% have no clue.
Mm. Oh.
110%.
The founder of Girls Gone Wild. That is Joe Francis.
Mm. Name that Tool.
And a true Tool.
Is he still in jail, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
We all hope so. All right, let's go to Jay in Long Beach. Good morning, Jay.
What's up, man?
Jay, how have you been doing on hold?
Oh, you know, going 405, 22... the streets, back to the 405.
Okay. I was just asking how you were doing with the contest.
Well done.
On
sounds
hold,
like some bougie traffic, though.
I appreciate the Californian sketch that you just did for us. All right, Jay.
I'm about 50%.
Okay, perfect. This Tool is all about Jim Tan Laundry, appearing on all six seasons of MTV's hit Jersey Shore. In January, he had to surrender to the Otisville Federal Correctional Institution and began an 8-month sentence for tax evasion. What a meatball. But he's nothing if not a romantic. Just listen to him describing a girl he was dating.
Paula is a natural 8.2. Like, she's got a pretty face. She looks good naked. All she needs is a little fixing up.
You know, just put a bag over her head.
8.2 just needs a little fixing up.
Sure, like a bag over her head.
Is this Tool?
Is that the situation?
It is the situation.
Name that Tool.
Yes, Jay sounded disappointed. He knew.
All of these people should be. The real winners are the ones that actually aren't on hold anymore.
I think we only have time for one more, Allie.
All right, let's go to Richard in Montebello. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, gentlemen and ladies.
Hey, Richard. So this. This Tool replaced Larry King on CNN before being canned and moving back across the pond to do breakfast television. His name trends on Twitter multiple times a year, usually for something toolish that he said or did. But part of me believes he's just the king of trolling. Oh, and he was also in charge at the Daily Mirror during the period where the paper was implicated in a huge phone hacking scandal. Who is this Tool?
That'd be Piers Morgan?
It is.
Name that Tool.
Nice.
Very impressive, Richard, and Jay as well. Also, Chris, you guys all named that Tool and all are in the running to win tickets to go see the band Tool. They're playing Staples Center on either the 20th or the 21st. We'll find out who the winner is right now.
The winner is Richard.
Richard. Yay! Congrats, Richard. You got the tickets.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! And thanks for playing the game.
Name that Tool. Tool. Name that Tool.
Thursdays on the Kevin and Bean Show. I mean, two things. We talked to Dr. Drew. We're going to do that a little bit later. We've got Get Up on This with Jensen Karp coming up just after 7. Mm-hmm.
I know Jensen doesn't like to tip his hand on Get Up on This until we get into the segment, but let me just ask you this question.
Is it Heimer?
No, but I would love to get more people up on Heimer.
All right, we'll find out first. Allie's got what's happening on this Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
I made no secret of my immense love for the Elton John biopic Rocket Man.
Correct.
Correct.
I saw it 4 times in the theater.
Whoa! You never see anything more than once in the theater.
No. Except Star Wars movies.
Except Star Wars, right.
Which, let's be honest, the closest thing to Han Solo for me is Taron Egerton. I've said it for years. Here's some great news for people that live in Southern California. You know how sometimes they do at the Greek Theater or Hollywood Bowl, they'll show a movie, then have the orchestra playing to the movie?
Yeah, that's fun. I've done that.
It's amazing. They're going to do that with Rocket Man. And Elton John and Taron Egerton are going to come out and do a special performance. Oh, my God!
This thing just will not stop.
You guys! October 17th, one night only at the Greek Theater. That's my favorite. You guys, I can't.
That's pretty cool.
Are you going to be like lining up for these tickets?
Tickets go on sale tomorrow. I did see that they had a special pre-sale on September 4th, which was yesterday, for people in the Rocket Club, which apparently is Elton John's little like fan club type thing. Right. So if you're in the Rocket Club, give me a call. 1-800-520-1-
Nope.
I will be online tomorrow trying to score these tickets. You guys.
That seems pretty cool.
With the Hollywood Symphony Orchestra.
That is very cool. I watched it this past weekend for the first
time.
What
did you think?
I liked it. I thought it was really good. It's very hard to make a bad movie with all of Elton John's music.
Absolutely.
I
agree.
But it's great.
Taron Egerton.
He is a doll. Oh, yeah.
Such a star. All right. Tickets for Rocketman live in concert go on sale tomorrow. You can find more info at LAGreekTheater.com. You guys, Ryan Murphy is...
knows what he's doing.
It's quite prolific.
Mm-hmm.
He really is out of control. So American Horror Story 1984 is going to premiere September 18th. That's based on all 1980s horror movies. That'll be the ninth American Horror Story. Yeah, Murder House, Asylum, Coven, Freak Show, Hotel, Roanoke, Cult, Apocalypse, and then 1984. But he's also been busy. You know how he made that huge deal with Netflix? Mm-hmm. Well, he's creating a 10-episode A Chorus Line miniseries, a limited drama about the iconic designer Halston, with Ewan McGregor already attached to star in it, and he's preparing a 10-part documentary series about the artist Andy Warhol. Jeez. That's just one story about Ryan Murphy.
He once gave mouth-to-mouth to a baby chick.
He might have. Like, he probably saved a bunch of orphans on the way into work today. He's incredible.
American Horror Story 1984. Out of all of them I've ever seen commercials for, because I don't think I've ever watched a full one, this is the one I'm most excited for.
It looks great.
It looks great. Looks really good. All throwbacks. It looks fantastic. That's interesting. You've never watched them.
I've watched a couple, but not like a season, no.
Oh,
and I
man.
Was a big Nip Tuck guy. Thought it was a great show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to get into the 1984. I'm in.
There are a couple American Horror Stories that I didn't like as much as
but
they're all so good.
Even the ones that you don't love, they're really good.
Yeah.
Also, you can kind of just watch one. I know that sounds insane. You could, because I've picked up a couple here and there, and they're all entertaining.
It's better if you have any context, but yeah.
Well, if you have the time.
Too much TV?
Too much TV, as you know.
Ryan Murphy 2020, you guys.
Mm-hmm. I have said that for years.
You've never said that.
Incredible.
Even before.
Big brother, mentor, hero, king.
Inspiration, idol.
Even before I knew there was going to be a 2020.
He has a cartel in the Russian mafia.
We still don't know. There's going to be a 2020.
He is certainly entertaining.
Do you remember, I don't know if it was his first show or one of his first shows.
What?
But it was kind of the precursor to Glee. Like when Glee came out and everyone's like, this is so great. It's so different. We've never seen anything like it. No. You did see something like it, and it was called Popular, and it was Ryan Murphy.
Oh.
Yeah, one of his first ones, I think. If not his first.
Oh, come on. Who's with me? Popular.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
Whew. All right.
That guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home.
Doesn't
start exercising.
I don't
doesn't
think that's
have that at all. Some birthdays for you. Rose McGowan, Michael Keaton, Brad Wilk, drummer for Rage Against the Machine, Audioslave, and currently Prophets of Rage. Happy birthday.
1 hour from right now, we're going to talk to RJ Bell about the NFL week one.
Week one of the 100th season of the NFL, by the way. I'm excited about it.
I'm
Packers Bears tonight. And then Steve Aoki joins us in studio. That's all coming up here on KROQ. First, though, Thursdays mean at this time, Jensen Karp steps up to the mic. It's time for Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up, on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up,
get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
This week, I'm excited to get you up on a new and exciting TV show. It debuts tomorrow night.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's how fresh we are.
All right.
This is before it's even been shown to the public, because as you know, we've talked about it even today, there was too much television.
Yes. Too much TV.
Too much. And I see it as my job to curate and pick out the programs that I think you need to focus on.
Okay.
And this one is too entertaining to ignore. Okay? On Showtime, the channel, I'm happy to get you up on Couples Therapy.
Yes!
Okay. It is so great.
I told you!
It is tremendous. The docuseries is exactly as it's advertised in the name. You watch a handful of couples undergo couples therapy with professional therapist Dr. Orna Gerlnick. who's been practicing for 25 years in New York
Sounds
City.
Sexy.
You assume.
That's an unfortunate name.
The funny part about Dr. Orna is that she's foreign, and she's kind of she's pretty, actually. She's kind of nondescript in a way. And then every once in a while, she'll turn her arm, and you see like kind of a serious tattoo, and you're like, oh, Dr. Orna's been through some ass. Listen, you're a fly on the wall for four different couples. They all are varying in years married, ethnicity, problems, and much more. And they were filmed over a 20-week period. Okay, so four couples, 20 weeks. Outside of a few establishing shots and transitions of the couples getting into a car or a few quick glimpses into their home life as muted B-roll, all we see is their interaction in waiting rooms and in the actual office. Okay, it's all shot rather cinematically. It resembles more of The Hills than, say, Taxi Cab Confessions. And it is fascinating.
It sounds like you would feel bad for watching. Like it's so invasive and so personal.
There are definitely times of that. There's Evelyn and Alan. That's a couple dealing with trust issues, as Alan seems to hide his interactions and hangouts from his wife and calling them innocent, even though he just like hangs out with women at bars.
Okay.
It's odd. There's the incredibly complex Annie and Mao, where a lot of talk about sexual compatibility comes up that may shine a light into much deeper problems. There's Alurin and Sarah. That's a queer and trans couple dealing with conflicting schedules about when they want to have a child. And then there's Deshaun and Elaine, who bicker, and they have a ton of spite built up from over the years, and that's now bubbling into something much larger. So let's listen to a quick clip of what you'll hear from the show. This is Deshaun and Elaine in just a normal couples therapy session, because that's what this show is.
We no longer speak the same language. He misunderstands me, and I totally misunderstand him.
In what way?
He'll placate me most of the time just so that he doesn't have to engage in a conversation because he thinks I'm going to yell or scream or whatever.
I think you're going to yell and scream?
I'm an intense individual, and that's the way I speak.
Okay. But it usually ends up with you yelling and screaming.
Maybe we should get into a couple of examples.
Maybe not right now.
No.
And I think we've all necessarily been at that argument. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone at one point in their life has had that. And you'll feel that in these episodes. Now, in addition to the couples therapy sessions, now this we all have to, everyone focus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In addition to the couples therapies.
Yes.
You also follow the therapist to her own sessions. Because legally, therapists have to go to therapy. That's something
I didn't know
in
that.
The practice. Okay. Right. So you go, like The Sopranos, remember how we used to go with Tony Soprano's therapist? You go and listen to her own insecurities with her job and her personal opinions of the couples that we've been seeing professionally with her.
Fascinating.
And then we find out how crazy the therapists are.
That would be terrifying to hear my own therapist therapy. I would never want that. Now, I used to listen to a similar podcast called Where Should We Begin? That was with a therapist named Esther Perel. And that's also very good. But it was only one session with each couple, no follow-ups, and you never learn anything more about them, just the 1 hour.
Part with the therapist sounds like the most interesting part to me.
Listen, it all works. Yeah. It all works. Being able to see 20 weeks with these couples is wild. 20 weeks with them is nuts because you see really different stages of their arguments, of their relationship. Nothing feels staged. The participants really don't seem to change at all for the cameras, and it's the real first look ever into long-term therapy, which I'm a huge fan of, and I think all of us on the show are fans of. It's made by the team behind the incredible documentary, which is also kind of a get-up-on, called, I'm going to try to say this without any possibility of you pulling it as a drop, but the documentary Wiener, which is about Anthony Wiener, and that's also very good. And it also has the same tension and analysis as this documentary. Who would want their therapy taped? That's a good question, right?
No one.
Yeah.
Producers say 1,000 couples applied. 1,000. They said that they were inspired by the possibility that sharing their stories publicly could be helpful to other people who are having similar struggles.
Or they wanted to be on TV.
That's also possible. Mm-hmm. No offense to our pal Dr. Drew, but this is nothing like VH1 Couples Therapy, which is, you know, involving sort of the circuit of reality stars. This is very genuine, right? It's slow at times because that's what therapy is. But you have to commit to it, okay? This is a clip of a 25-year married couple that's having their issues in bed. Here is the husband, who I believe is most likely a psychopath, who says he doesn't know what he's doing wrong, and here's Dr. Orna after asking for clarification. Here you go.
You don't know what you're doing wrong?
Yes. So imagine that I want her to do something differently, mm-hmm. right? I could get her to do whatever I want. That's not what I want.
Okay, I also want to understand that she's next to him.
Okay, so he's saying that.
Yeah, right next to her.
What I want is for her to do whatever I want without me having to make it happen. To just, you know, I want to get a glass of water before I ask, and it's there waiting.
Wow.
He is a nightmare.
Wow.
I mean, layers and layers of nightmare. There are 9 episodes that will be shown of this series, a new one debuting every Friday night at 10 p.m. on Showtime. You can obviously stream it from their app as well or online, whatever. If you're a subscriber, you know these things. So watch Real Couples Therapy be a kind of a fly on the wall for people in their therapy sessions and your therapist's therapy sessions. How much do I need to sell this to you? It's this week's Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up.
Every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, all week long, in fact, you can win your way into the K-Rock Summer Pool Party with Lovely the Band. Sounds like fun, right? At the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa on September 14th. You can go to KRock.com for another chance to win or keep on listening. As I said, we've got them for you every hour. Adam Portillo from L.A. is the most recent winner. Your chance coming up on K-Rock.
We talked to Bobby Hundred yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Nice guy. Mm-hmm.
Really great guy. And he was telling us all about starting his business. And he wrote a book about it. This is not a T-shirt. And it's basically about how many ways it failed.
Yes.
I mean, he was, at first he took off like a crazy person, and then all of a sudden everything that he did just turned to nonsense and it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. And we want to talk to people, because I'm fascinated by people who even have the guts to start a business. Oh, that's impressive.
Well, the percentage of businesses that fail is astronomical.
And you know that before you start a business.
Right.
So that's a very cool thing for me. So we would like to talk to people on the phones, 1-800-520-1067. You tried to start a business and it failed. I mean, the more it failed, the better, because that's funny. Right? Do we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Not for the person who lost their house because
not.
They put all their money in it.
Well, you have to be over it before you call us.
This isn't therapy.
Don't be like sobbing on the phone. We don't need that. You need to be over it.
You're not still in bankruptcy court.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Okay. So you started a business and it failed. Now, what's the intent of this? Is to find out what went wrong? Like, what did you learn from it?
I think so.
Yeah, like the risk that people take, and sometimes it doesn't always work out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking about it now, things are okay.
And if you wanted to start a really stupid business, that's what I want to hear. Like, obviously,
it was a terrible idea.
What a horrible idea.
Well, that's kind of what I had in college. Well, number one, Hawk Carl was kind of a failed business. But when in college, I had this idea that I still think is pretty good, but I had every friend be like, that's so dumb. That's so dumb. Okay, you ready? Shower posters. What? So these are like posters like you know, right?
Uh-huh.
But they're laminated and they have suction cups on the back of them. And in your shower, you could put up a poster.
Why would you want that?
Well, I think kids might want to see like SpongeBob or, you know, like, or adults might want to see like a Baywatch picture.
Oh,
Farrah Fawcett poster.
My
right.
Gosh.
And so I thought maybe you
further
would
lamination.
Want posters in
what?
The shower. Right.
That is honestly the worst idea I've ever heard.
It's not
in my
great.
Life.
It's not great.
It really is.
And the sad part is, I still think it's good.
No,
I was
you
like,
don't.
Really
terrible. There is no market for that.
Well, I thought like a Spencer's
That's
Gifts.
That's the perfect story.
Or like,
what a terrible idea that is.
You don't think that thing would sell at Oz?
No.
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 Fine.
I mean,
that's a terrible idea.
Maybe like for kids, like having a Dora in there during bath time.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Okay. But still, no.
That's my idea. You just said it's okay.
No.
But she picked a poster and an age and everything else.
That's okay, a very, so, very limited audience right there.
So you're saying you started a business and it failed, or you had an idea for a business and you didn't go forward? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I mean, because I would have put a lot of resources into that.
The worse the idea, the better, like we said. Yes, Allie, you have one.
I had an idea that I came up with on the air.
Okay.
With Dr. Drew during a segment, we were talking.
Inspiration.
Thank you. We were talking about how he had prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the side effects is when you have prostate cancer, you can no longer.
People can't see your motions.
Just
let her explain it.
Can I say the E word?
Hiya, folks.
You can no longer ejaculate. You can say that.
You've been approved.
That's
been
medically
approved.
Correct,
so,
yes.
So, I came up with this on the air because I was like, oh my God, honestly, Drew, that sounds like a dream. Like,
that's a
no
benefit,
cleanup,
right.
No anything. That's wonderful. Why don't we come up with a dating service for women that want to date men that had prostate cancer, and we'll call it Prostates.
Genius.
Oh, good. Oh, see, I thought genius. It was wonderful.
Oh, I like it. Okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yours is good. Yours is bad.
Notes, taking notes.
Prostates. All right, I'm just saying.
I came up with an idea that I've said many times on the air, and I just never thought. I think there's one fatal flaw in it, and that's the Car Chase Channel.
Not a bad idea.
So you know how you do Locked Up Abroad, where they interview people who they're the actual people who were trying to smuggle drugs, then they went into prison.
Sure. Yeah.
You do that with car chases, but after it's all done and they're out of jail or whatever, and they talk you through it.
Like, now, what's the fatal flaw? Mindset? Because I still think they should have that.
I think the fatal flaw is a lot of times drugs are involved and they probably don't know a lot. You know what I mean?
Well, like, eventually, they'll come down.
No, but I'm saying during it, if they didn't really, I don't know. But then they can watch it
and be like, "Oh man, look at that turn." I think that would be
fascinating.
That's a good idea.
They could do the play-by-play. Like, what were you thinking here?
Yes, what were you thinking here? Now, again, if they were on drugs, maybe they don't remember what they were thinking then.
Even them saying that, I'd watch.
Hear me out. We see them in jail also before they get out. We get to talk to them then. And then we cut to them in the shower, and there's a shower poster just in the background.
In jail?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
There's a shower poster.
I don't want to see the poster in jail. Nope.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with, let's go to Brian. He's on line two. He's in Pasadena. We're talking about you started a business, and it didn't work out. And by the way, let me just say this, because this is not a downer segment.
No.
That business didn't work out. That doesn't mean you don't have other great ideas that will work out. Bobby Hundreds failed a bunch of times before he created this incredibly huge streetwear line. So this doesn't mean it's the end of the road for you, Brian, just that your first idea didn't work out. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey.
So what'd you do?
So yeah, me and my friend decided to buy a food truck and start a funnel cake business.
Love it.
And and we put the money in, got the truck, and you know, we did it with the idea like, oh, we should go to car shows and wherever, like fairs or whatnot, and got in a couple car shows. And what we realized is, like, it's kind of expensive to get into these shows. Looks like we're going to have to make at least, 500 funnel cakes just to break out even.
Ooh, wow. That's a lot of funnel.
Yeah, that's a lot of funnel. So we weren't doing our math really that well.
I mean, you could sell a funnel cake for $49.99.
Then you only got to sell like 100.
Right. Did you ever try to just drive up and down the streets of the neighborhood like an ice cream truck and sell funnel cakes that way?
Well, it was kind of like a trailer, so it's kind of hard to find parking like that.
Oh, I see.
Okay, this whole idea was terrible.
Yeah.
And my trailer, it was my van.
Do you know, how long did you keep the business running before you shuttered it?
Probably about 6 months, if that.
Wow. But an expensive 6 months.
That's a bummer, Brian, because when you think about funnel cakes, there's only really like one place to get it, at a fair.
At the fair, yeah.
And I want a funnel cake right now. And if there was a funnel cake food truck where I knew where it was going to be, I'd go and get a funnel cake,
Brian.
I'm going
to say a decent idea that maybe you could make work if you changed up the finances.
Well, it's about quantity, how much you can get rid of.
Try it again, Brian. Well, yeah. That's what we're saying.
Yeah,
try it again.
Come on, use
Brian.
Your money. Use your
Put
money.
Put your money right on doing
any in. But use your money.
Well, that's the thing. Once we did it, then, a few years later, now that's like the biggest thing happening around. You see food trucks everywhere.
Yeah.
Now you can get on the corner like selling anything.
Right. Time to get back into it. Look, we're telling you it's a great idea. Get back into it, Brian. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. 1-800-520-1067. Your business failed. We want to hear about it coming up next on K-Rock. All right. We're talking about businesses that didn't work out. I don't know the exact quote, but remember people used to ask Thomas Edison why he kept trying to make that light bulb. And he's like, look, I have not failed yet. I've just found 10,000 ways to do it that don't work.
Is that true? Let's check with Ruben.
Ruben was Thomas Edison's assistant at the time. So just because this business failed doesn't mean you're a bad person, doesn't mean something else might not work
for
you.
By the way, it also doesn't mean that the idea you came up with couldn't work if you tweaked it.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. A lot of it has to do with timing and other factors outside of your control. Like, for instance, JT in Pomona, he had a business. It didn't work out. Let's find out why. Hey, JT, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, what's up, party people? Hi, Allie.
Hey.
So what was the deal?
Well, I decided to start a business where I would design T-shirts, usually for the nerd culture, but with a little more suggestive humor to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it started slow, but it was going pretty good. You'd hit the convention circuits, and people would buy shirts here and there. And then, unfortunately, my car broke down, so I had to get a new one.
Oh.
The new car had manual locks, and I was used to automatic locks.
Mm.
So after going to a friend's house one night, and I had to grab something out of the back seat, I forgot to lock the back passenger seat. And then when I got home that night, by the morning time, somebody got in my car through that back passenger seat and just took all my merchandise that I had in the trunk.
Mm. Mm. How many T-shirts did they get?
About 100, maybe a little over.
Yeah. I mean, that hurts.
Unfortunately, I hadn't finished paying off the manufacturing debt I got in, so I'm still trying to get that paid off. So, I mean, the dream's still alive. It's just kind of a setback. So I just got to pay off the debts and then make some
more. I'll tell you, something like a T-shirt business, too, you're at the mercy of so much competition online, too. You know, with Redbubble and Cafe Press and all these other places that sell T-shirts. There's so much out there.
He's bummed already, Bean.
Yeah, I'm just saying, that's a tough business to go into.
Right.
But we appreciate the call and the experience.
You want to remind him of his debt, Bean?
And seriously, lock your goddamn car.
Your Let's parents still alive? Can we... What's up?
About feline AIDS? It's crazy. Cats are dying.
What's that lump in your testicle? Let's go to Matt in Lomita. He's on line 5 up next to the Kevin Beach Show. We haven't even gotten into opening a restaurant, by the way, which I think has the highest failure rate of any business you can open in California.
Hey, Matt.
Matt, what happened?
Hey. Oh, well, I bought an existing business. I had some money, and so I decided I'd buy an existing business. Got my wife all into it. She thought, yeah, we could do it. Opened up everything else and immediately found out that I was selling the wrong product in the wrong area, and immediately started to watch the guy who sold it to me, you know, gave me the spreadsheets, everything looked all right. And then I suddenly realized I had to pay taxes and all kinds of other stuff that wasn't in the, anyways, long story short, next thing I know, then I doubled down. I got a little bit more money and decided to open up a second location.
Oh,
good.
Okay.
No, yeah. Good move.
Open up a second location and then turn around and close it within 3 months.
Oh.
After opening it with a huge debt, wife's like going, we got to get out of at least that one. Needless to say, borrowed money from family, borrowed from money, anybody who had
you did everything
to me.
Right, man. Yep. Seriously, don't change a thing.
Oh, yeah. I could write a book on how to do nothing right.
Oh,
yeah,
sure, so.
Wait, Matt, this ends okay, right? This ends all right?
Huh?
This ends okay? You closed the places down, you found a new job, you're paying off the debt.
Well, we filed for bankruptcy.
All right. That's a great follow-up question, Judson.
You heard
thank
about
you.
Feline AIDS,
I bet you could never eat pizza again either, by the way. That was what it was, a pizzeria. All right, thank you for the call. Right, this is sad, you guys.
It's not as happy as we'd hoped.
Let's try Moreno Valley Line 4. Let's say hello to our friend Amanda. Hey, Amanda.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are good, thank you.
You had what you thought was a great business idea, but it didn't work out the way you hoped.
Yes. So we own a camping rental company. It's called Happy Camper. And what we do is we'll go to a campsite, set up all the camping equipment, which is tent camping only, and have everything ready for the campers. And then we'll come back and take it down.
That's awesome.
A good idea.
That is awesome.
Yeah, but it didn't work out as we planned. Not enough people like to tent camp anymore. It's more of an RV thing now.
Oh.
And then we've had some bad customers where they've ruined all our camping equipment.
Yeah, I can see that. Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, you should open a pizza place.
How long did you keep it going before the cruel reality that you had to shut it down?
3 years.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So there must have been a lot of times during that 3 years that you thought, hey, man, we're so close to getting over the hurdle here. We're going to make it.
Yes. Yeah, we thought we could do it. Enough advertising, and it just didn't work out.
It seems like a great idea. That's
does. That's
sad,
a shame.
Sad camper in the end.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Allie, I know how you feel about hiking. How do you feel about camping?
If somebody was setting everything up for me, that would be awesome. But, I mean, there would be like a bed in the tent, right?
Sure,
and
sure,
Wi-Fi and AC.
Wi-Fi, TV, the whole deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Fontana. Adrian's up next, line 3 on K-Rock.
Hey, Adrian. Sorry, try again. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Adrian, what was your business?
Hey, Ellie.
Hey, Adrian.
It's a good start.
My business was, I was touring around Echo Park and started seeing all these hot dog people. So
I decided to sell vegan hot dogs.
Vegan hot dogs. Wow. Great idea.
In the right area, yeah.
Yeah, perfect location, yeah.
So I had the location, I had the people, especially the Latino guys, which didn't know much.
I think
your phone is breaking
out.
Up.
It's a bummer, yeah.
Oh, but thanks for the memories.
File.
I mean, I think file.
At the same time.
All right, let's do one more, and let's make it James in Pasadena. I think, Jensen, you're going to be... He's online, too.
Yep.
I think you're going to be very, very excited when you hear what James has to say.
Great. Hey, Jaime.
No worries.
Oh, sorry.
All right, what's up?
Okay, so I think the Jensen just doesn't have enough faith in his idea.
Oh.
I love the idea.
The posters in the shower?
James, did you hear the idea, and you understood it?
Let me just recap. Well, he wants to put posters in showers.
Laminated posters in showers.
Well, they're not laminated when they start.
But you guys aren't understanding the angle.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. We could be the first company that could go to Nickelodeon and to Playboy.
Yeah.
We could do the SpongeBob side.
Yep.
And the more adult side. Jensen,
James.
Nope. So, yes.
Are you taking the deal? This is my Shark Tank.
Yeah. Well, we need to talk about the specifics, but I'm telling you, man, this has wheels.
Hmm? Okay. Yeah, there are no wheels on the posters. And for this reason, I am out.
Well, listen, when James and I are billionaires,
oh my God,
and I never come back into work,
that'd be awesome.
It's shower posters, baby.
Good luck to you both.
Well, and otherwise, we could always open up a vegan hot dog stand.
There you go. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52. Talking to RJ Bell next with his picks for week number one of the NFL.
RJ, by the way, knows something about football.
Turns out, I'm
excited to hear. I can only imagine that Rams and Chargers both are on the upswing, right?
I think so, too.
I can only imagine we expect a better season even than last year. So let's see what RJ has to say about all that and preview tonight's Thursday night kickoff game coming up. Then our friend Steve Aoki, one of the biggest DJs in the world, joins us after RJ. So it's a big half hour coming up. First, Allie's got what's happening here on a Thursday.
Do you think any of the Rams are listening and they're like, dude, we made it to the Super Bowl.
We were in the Super Bowl.
How much more do you want us to do?
Bean wants them to win.
Yes.
Well, what I'm saying is, just like the Dodgers making it to the World Series, the next season you go, okay, but now we got it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You also jinxed the Dodgers all in one shot. So.
Yeah, way to go.
That was great.
Nice work, man.
God damn it, man. Guys, Woody Allen has a defender and frequent collaborator, Scarlett Johansson. The actress told The Hollywood Reporter in its new cover story that she wouldn't hesitate to work with him again. He, of course, has been accused by estranged daughter Dylan Farrow of sexual abuse. She said, "I love Woody. I believe him, and I would work with him anytime." She's worked with him in the past. He directed her in Match Point, Scoop, and Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Okay.
That's FU money more than anything.
She was literally just named last week the highest paid actress.
Because she doesn't care now. Like, she could stop.
It seems like recently she's had just kind of a whole list of, like, she wakes up and she's like, what can I say that a lot of people will hate me for today?
You know what I think is interesting is I'm surprised that she's outspoken about this, partly because she's got that new film coming out with Adam Driver that everybody is talking Oscars about. And I wonder if this will be a very unpopular opinion that she now has in Hollywood that will affect the chances of people voting for her.
Hmm. Yeah. Because
she's never won an Oscar, but apparently she is phenomenal in this new Adam Driver marriage movie.
I mean, to be making, what is it, $50 million or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She don't care.
She doesn't care.
She's like living crazy.
Or, plot twist, she's just trying to get the role of Sun Yi.
she'd do it well, as you know.
That's a strange choice. She should
be able to play a tree or anything else.
Yeah, she could play anything.
She's taken roles for Asians in the past. Yep. That was a callback to other things that Scarlett's done that have been questionable.
I think Woody Harrelson is the only good Woody, you guys.
Hello, Toy Story. Oh, you've never seen him.
Oh, that's right.
He's a good Woody.
Yeah, Woody Woodpecker, too. He's good.
Was that it?
Spot on.
Pretty good.
It was awful. This is awful news, just because it brings up Mac Miller's death, but it's good news that prosecutors have arrested a man in connection with the death of rapper Mac Miller. accusing him of selling the musician counterfeit drugs 2 days before his overdose. His name is Cameron James Pettit, and he was in the Hollywood Hills and arrested. Apparently, he was selling counterfeit oxycodone pills laced with fentanyl. Mm.
Fentanyl is so much stronger than that.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
That sounds like a bad business model. Isn't fentanyl even more expensive than OxyContin?
No. Yeah, that's...
No. Oh, oxycodone.
No, I think fentanyl is being used to cut it because it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding.
Is it cheap?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or at least maybe it's a cheap fentanyl. Like, from what I understand, that's what all these people are dying from.
Yeah.
Is that they're basically being snuck in fentanyl through these drugs, and they take too much.
Mm. Yeah. Of course, Mac Miller, as we all know, was found dead in his home, and the Los Angeles County Medical Examiner ruled that he died from a fatal overdose of alcohol, cocaine, and fentanyl. So, if oxycodone wasn't really even in,
or even if there was just part of fentanyl, yeah,
and it was just the fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
That is that's a bad time for Cameron James Pettit.
Yeah,
apparently he expressed remorse after Mac Miller's death by texting a friend saying, "I'm not great. I'm most likely going to die in jail." So he knew he was going to get nabbed, I guess, which is
wah wah.
Sorry. This seems to happen a lot to Taylor Swift. Houses broken into, stalkers just cruising right on up to her front door.
She does have a big problem with stalkers.
Yeah. A New Jersey man was busted inside Taylor Swift's beachfront home and told cops he had taken off his shoes to be polite. What the heck? Yeah,
Broke a window to get in, though.
Yeah, he jumped the fence outside of her Rhode Island beach house. And left his shoes outside. And the cop said, What are you doing? Where are your shoes? And he said, well, I was always taught that when you go into someone's home, you have to take your shoes off.
Oh,
I did it because I was polite.
No one taught him about the window.
Nobody ever said, listen, don't break a window and go into a stranger's home uninvited.
Yeah.
But the shoe thing, I remember.
Yeah, got it down.
Wow.
I think this happens to Taylor a lot because her fans have made her house's locations public.
Yeah.
And she can only be in one at a time, so people know when she's not there. So, unfortunately, it's kind of open season.
Which one's she at right now, Bean?
I don't know. Why would I know?
New York.
Weirdo. Kevin?
Yes.
Good news.
Friends.
Nope.
Okay, good.
Your boy Kevin James has been tapped as the lead for Netflix's upcoming multi-camera sitcom, The Crew.
Is it Heimer?
Here's the thing about Kevin James and our own Kevin Ryder. What was the movie where he rode the little...
Paul Blart?
Paul Blart.
Do you know Kevin's feelings about Paul Blart?
He loves it.
It was very funny.
Loves it.
It's physical
loves comedy. It's very funny.
Ran into the glass. He couldn't... Listen to the joy.
People running into things and falling. It just makes
me
so happy.
It's funnier because he's kind of fat.
He's kind of fat. That's very true.
Well,
and he's on a Segway and he just looks so silly.
And it's in a mall.
Let's see if this will have the same effect on Kevin. Kevin James, The Crew. The comedy takes place in a NASCAR garage where James plays the crew chief. But when the owner steps down and passes the team off to his daughter, Kevin James finds he's at odds with all the tech-reliant millennials that she starts bringing in to modernize the team. I don't get crazy technology. Comedy.
He's going to go, what's Instagram? Put a filter on what, this car? We don't need a filter in the engine.
What do you mean Instagram Live my takeoff in this car? What? He's not the driver. He's the crew.
Do you want to make a bet that at some point he's on the crew and he's doing all the work and then the car takes off and he's holding on to it and being pulled?
Oh, Kevin.
I mean, that would be very, very him.
Yes.
Kevin needs it. You need that.
This movie doesn't sound like it's for me.
There's no way you won't go see it.
No,
it's on Netflix.
He doesn't even have to leave.
You don't have to leave your house. It's a multi-camera sitcom. It's a sitcom. Many episodes for you, Kevin.
Yeah, I'd have to see a trailer. It doesn't interest me so far.
Hmm. Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want Nate.
I mean,
where do you want us to start?
Jeff Van Gundy and Kevin Ryder are the same person.
How
I said that
dare
for years.
You?
For years.
This isn't for me.
All right.
We'll see. I'm holding you to it.
Okay.
When you're walking around.
I do love,
being,
though,
you know,
that you couldn't just say it wasn't for you. You said, I'm going to have to see a trailer.
Well, I mean, you know, I decide for myself.
Like, just
you guys with your peer pressure and whatnot.
The description wasn't enough to say no. You're like, gotta see the trailer.
I have to see if a fat guy falls. If he does, I'm probably going to see it.
Oh, good Lord. All right, some birthdays for you. Michael Keaton, Rose McGowan, Brad Wilk, by the way, Prophets of Rage, September 11th and the 12th at the Mayan, you guys. And a late addition to the birthday list, good Lord, Mr. Bob Newhart.
Oh, legend.
A legend. And can I say, if you have a few minutes today, just Google Bob Newhart book interview nightmare, where he had to step in and do an interview on TV with this, like, retired colonel that had written the book. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Bob Newhart had no time to read the book at all. Sits down to do this interview. It is one of the funniest things I have ever seen, because I'm just going to say that retired colonel, bonkers! It is so funny, you guys. That's a little, I don't know, 50, 60-year-old comedy bit that you could watch right there on the YouTubes. And that's what's happening.
One of the oldest rivalries in sports, the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers kick off season number 100 for the National Football League tonight. And you know, for 97 of those years, our next guest has been giving us picks on the air. Hit it, Steve!
'Cause he's RJ Bell! RJ Bell! Yes, he's RJ Bell! RJ Bell!
RJ Bell is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. This is actually, I joke, but this is actually season six, RJ, and I just saw your tweet at RJ in Vegas. Have you had a winning record on our show every year you've been on our show?
That is correct, sir. But
wow.
Okay. I will say this, I'm a little concerned.
Oh,
all right.
You're going to think I'm doing this ironically, that I'm kind of joking. No, no, no. Because let's be honest, Kevin and Bean is a staple in Los Angeles. When I'm in town, I'm, I would say, recognized, or at least when people hear my name, it's like, oh, Kevin and Bean, more than any city, any show. So, first of all, congrats to you guys for that. But here's what I'm concerned about. 5 years ago was year one, we won. Year two, one, three, one, four, one, five, one. Now, think about the kid who's now 14. And started listening when he was nine.
Right.
He's thinking, there's nothing but winning in Vegas.
Right.
Vegas is easy. Is that affecting the children?
He's
should
like,
I try to
kids?
Lose this year?
He's like the kids in Boston. All they know are championships.
That's right.
You're the city of Boston, RJ.
But here's the difference.
Did you say you're going to try to lose this year?
No, I'm saying even if I did, I'm not sure I could, but
I
should
see.
I?
Oh, I see.
And the whole Boston thing's just plain. It's like maybe one-tenth as important. Because what's the consequence if you think you're going to win a championship? Disappointment.
Right.
But what happens if you skip college and move to Vegas?
Bankruptcy.
Potentially.
Yeah. Think of the kids. That's what RJ is saying.
That's all right. What he's always said.
I want to start with this first question because I asked the kids this off the air and they didn't have an answer. Am I imagining it, or is the first game of every NFL season usually the winner of last year's Super Bowl? And if that's true, why is that not the case this year?
Okay, so yes, that's historically been the case. And you know something? I hadn't thought of it till this moment. So the only exception to that was the Ravens, because of something with, I think, a baseball
game. Because the Orioles were playing.
They ended up being on the road instead of being at home, which is what the typical advantage is. My only thought could be, and I can check in and email Dave on this if you want, but my thought is, hey, the Patriots seem to win it every year. Maybe it's getting boring. Let's do something different. I don't know.
Or it's a tip of the hat to the 100th season, so they went with that big rivalry tonight.
Yeah, and keep it. Oh, that's an interesting point, right? And remember, the Patriots host the Steelers on Sunday, and it's Sunday Night Football, so it's certainly getting that premier spot.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, before we get into some of the specifics about week one, how about an overview? Because, you know, a lot of people who may be casual football fans maybe don't follow the ons and offs of what's happening during the off season. How do the Chargers and the Rams look this year compared to how they left last season?
And all joking aside, this is the hit I do, the segment in which we keep at highest level. Does it prevent us winning every year? No. But that's what we try to do. If you're a casual fan,
he's you
answer the goddamn question.
Taking some long walks today.
What the hell, man?
Listen, we know you guys get new listeners every year, right?
That was a specific question.
All right, all right. Imagine the 8-year-old who's now 15.
All right, so... I got distracted. What was the question? No. So right now, here's the overview. Right now, amazingly, the Patriots are not the Super Bowl favorite. They're number two. Oh. The Kansas City Chiefs have taken the lead about 7-1. Patriots a little bit more than 7-1, so right in that range. And then the Saints, Eagles, and Rams. Rams are the fifth favorite. And by the way, conveniently, the sixth favorite, the Chargers. So the two LA teams, number five, number six. Hey, for the seven Charger fans out there, this is the team that the wise guys have said, oh, they're better than their record for like the last 7 years. I've never seen a team that never ends up actually good, but the wise guys always tend to like them. And once again, Chargers fall into that category.
Okay. Do you have picks for us for this week, including tonight's game?
I'll give you an opinion on tonight's game. I got three separate picks.
Okay.
So starting with tonight's game, and here's the key. There's a new trend in which don't play your quarterback in the preseason.
Right.
Now, I have a way I approach NFL. What would Belichick do? Because I really believe Belichick is a genius. I mean, the distance from him to the number two coach, in my opinion, gigantic. I am a huge Belichick fan. Obviously, the results are there, too. Now, what did he do Tom Brady's third year? Remember, Brady's first year, he didn't really play. Second year, he won a Super Bowl. So he's off of a big, as good as you can do, as well as you can do, the Super Bowl win. He ended up playing all four preseason games the next year. This was like 2002 or three. And then he had about 50-plus pass attempts. What has Jared Goff done? A guy that hasn't won a Super Bowl, went there last year, made the playoffs the year before. Zero passes last year, zero passes this year in the preseason. So they're resting him. They don't want anyone to get injured. Well, what happened last year, the first game? Was he rusty? You might remember. First half against the Raiders on Monday night, Goff only threw 9 passes, which is not a normal amount. And the Rams were trailing against the Raiders 13-10. So I think we can expect a slow first half from the Rams this weekend. And the same thing applies to the Packers and the Bears. Trubisky, 0 passes. Aaron Rodgers, 0. We have the history of the Rams, seeing what happens when that's the case. I like under in this game. So you can bet over, under. I like under 46. I think both quarterbacks are rusty tonight because they did not play in the preseason.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting to think that keeping them out of the preseason will make that much of a difference in when it counts. I mean, that's the whole point of the preseason.
Exactly.
Ready.
So if not doing anything, not playing at all, was meaningless, there'd be no point to the preseason.
Right. All right. Well, listen, we're going to have more time next week. We have Steve Aoki getting ready to join us in studio here in a minute, RJ, so we're going to have to cut it. But
I can read the three picks if you want.
Okay, go.
Sure. Right. Ravens -6.5, Bills +3. Texans +7.
You said Bills.
The Bills.
Okay. Like from Buffalo?
The Buffalo Bills.
The Bills. With the dildos on the field?
With Vincent Gallo leading the way.
RJ Bell's Dream Preview podcast is available on iTunes, by the way, with both college football and NFL episodes every week. And don't forget, RJ is doing Straight Out of Vegas, which was the first national sports betting show. You got a little competition since last season on the radio.
Not really.
Yours is the only show that counts. Weekdays 3 to 4 on Fox Sports Radio, on Twitter at RJInVegasPregame.com. RJ, welcome back, sir. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Steve Aoki is here, people.
Come on. Come on. Hey, Steve. Welcome back to K-Rock.
Yeah, what's up?
How you been?
Good. Good.
I'm so glad to see you. Of course, electronic musician, record producer, DJ, music executive, best-selling author, cake thrower. The man has done it all. You know, I'm a little bit nervous because the last time we had you in, Steve, was for the documentary, which wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And now you've written your autobiography,
where are you going? Because
you're in a rush?
I feel like you're saying goodbye. This is end of career stuff. Why at 42 are you doing all this stuff?
I mean, well, the doc, once the doc came out, obviously we dove a bit deeper into my personal life. Mm-hmm. And that was an exciting chapter to kind of showcase to all my fans and, you know, whoever's interested even looking into my life. And the book just goes even deeper, you know? And I was able to really go into some of these stories myself and pull out some of that, the juice that, you know, I couldn't really do in the doc.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was fascinating to read, and fascinating is maybe the wrong word, but to read the history with your dad and with your mom.
Yeah.
And how at one point they all met, which had to be maybe the most awkward thing ever.
You had several families you didn't know about right up front.
Yeah, I mean, like I was so young. It's all stories at this point. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I don't look at it like this like a horrific scenario. It's more now I have an extended family that I love. So I'm
That's
very
a great way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I love my siblings. Like all my
one of them, you have to not like though. One of them.
Which one? We want names.
I think it's interesting too because you kind of always before at least the documentary and now obviously with the book, you knew Steve was raised by the guy who created Benihana. You're sort of like, yeah, that dude had it easy. Nothing's hard for that. And then you kind of read these things, and maybe you had the privilege of having some dough at times. Yeah. But like everyone has their struggles, and you had some really rough stuff.
Well, I have to say this, I think the general theory is if someone's always falling and someone's always picking that person up, mm-hmm. and that like eventually that person will not understand how to pick himself up,
sure.
pick herself up. It's like it's just
they have to learn on their own.
It's a basic theory. I think it happens to a lot of people where if you have position to help people, you're like, okay, I'm going to help you, mm-hmm. you know. But sometimes helping you in that way actually disables you, you know.
Right. Long-term damage, sure.
Right. So I don't think my dad was looking at like I think he was looking at it like that, but he's just like he's grown from a different cloth of you know how he was raised in Japan in his era of time, you know, in the 50s.
Well, you definitely made it on your own. There's no question about that. And one of the things that I was so impressed about, and it's funny, this has been a theme on this show the last few days because we had Bobby Hundreds in here the other day who had a lot of failed business attempts before he succeeded. And you made so many mistakes. Yeah. Almost every step along the way, you did things in a way that you would ensure you would lose money.
I think in the end, what I really wanted to show in this book too is that my life is between 70 to 80, maybe even 90% failure. You know, like
you don't think of anyone like that. I don't think you.
I think I go into things knowing that there's a huge possibility that it won't happen, and I'm okay with that. And I have to do that, you know, 10 more times, and maybe one of these will happen. And still to this day,
how do you not get down?
Because when that one happens, it's a glorious moment. It's a really big deal.
Because when that one happens, you're in the studio with Celine Dion, Kevin. That's how. That's what keeps him going.
No, for real. Like it's like those scenarios. You're like, okay, we made it here. You know, like, I mean, even now, like, you know, I collaborate with everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, and you should see the list of who I go after.
I wanted to bring
enormous.
That up. Elon Musk.
Why is he tops on your list?
It's an odd choice to go after.
Well, see, exactly. That's like. The chance of me working with Elon is very it's probably like you know not gonna happen.
What
but
even
I'm still
would it
gonna
be?
Try. What do I want him
what
to
would
do?
It be?
What would it who knows? Who cares?
Okay.
Well, like let's get
He's
in the studio.
He's just an interesting person and we'll figure it out.
It's more like, yeah, let's get in the studio and let's just mash our heads up if that's a thing that we can do.
Are you trying to get a deal on a Tesla ultimately? Is that what this is about?
I already got my Tesla.
Okay, all right.
This is about that weird LA tunnel he built underground. Steve wants to get to gigs quicker.
We're talking to Steve Aoki, by the way. The name of the book is Blue, The Color of Noise, and it is explained very early on why blue is Steve's favorite color. And it is a theme that runs throughout the book, which is fascinating. It's available everywhere now. When anyone sits down to write an autobiography, Steve, they have to make a decision. How honest am I going to be? How deep am I going to go? Were there any things that you struggled with that ended up in the book that were hard for you?
You know, like, I guess it's one of those the way I look at this book, too, sometimes is the way I'm talking to my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, a lot of it's the process. Like, why did I get here? Like, what are the questions that I have now? I'm 41. I don't have, you know, I'm not married. I don't have a kid. You know, like those are the questions that people ask themselves when they're, you know, when you're right. in your 30s and 40s. Are you going to have that? Like, so I do kind of ponder in that world. Because my life is, you know, as it is, it's full steam ahead. I do 250 shows a year, every single year.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
And you know,
if only I had some control over that. That means where you could do fewer.
It is sustainable. I'm telling you, it sounds like it's not sustainable, but, you know, and it's like the balance, like, can I find the balance you know, following this evolutionary urge to, you know, plant a seed, you know, and have like the family.
Are you looking for a family? Do you wish you had that?
I think, you know, you think about that. I think it's you know, society pressures, you grow up in that world, you think about those things. You can't help it, you know. At some point I will, you know, it's going to happen. You know, I'm pretty sure.
It's going to have to happen on a plane, but you will.
I feel like I enjoy self-sabotaging myself. Do you think maybe a part of you is afraid?
Okay,
of
why don't
that
you lie
commitment?
Down for this part of the interview? Just so we got to start. We charge
you're
about $250 an hour.
Afraid of the family, the marriage, all of that. So you're keeping yourself so busy that can be your excuse for now that you don't have time.
Yeah, I don't know about that one because I don't the idea of self sabotage. It's interesting that you say you enjoy it.
I don't enjoy it. That was no, I don't at all.
Yeah.
No.
Because I don't consider myself a masochist. I don't want to like hurt myself. Actually, I want to. The idea is to live indefinitely. Mm-hmm. You know,
thank you. You'll live forever. Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you.
To live as long
being,
as we possibly can.
Honestly, you're not going to live for another
live
5 years.
I'm telling you, I'm going to be living 100. And I totally get where you're coming from, Steve. Not only is the world a wonderful, beautiful place, and I can't wait to see what happens next, but a guy like you who is so in love with music and with creating music. You don't want to die and not get to work with everybody you want to work with and not make every beat in your head come to fruition. I totally get that. You got a lot of music to bring us, my friend.
And you know what? Like, as I get older, I'm realizing that what inspires me, obviously, is I mean, music is, you know, obviously, that's my soul. That's, like, how I move through the world. It's my natural way to express myself. But, you know, I love getting to rooms with scientists and researchers and finding out about breakthroughs and longevity and you know, all these interesting things that are happening around the world. Now I have a platform to actually be able to have these conversations and be able to be in these rooms and find out some of that juicy details of you know, like just tech stuff and what not is going on.
You're 1 minute away from turning into Tom DeLonge with his aliens. You know that.
Oh, I love it. Can I just real quick bring up the Backstreet Boys? Because I did that story a couple weeks ago when it was announced, and I was like, that is not a collaboration I saw happening. I could not love that more.
And I can't wait for you guys to not only hear it, but see the music video that we made.
Amazing.
What is that, tomorrow?
Yeah, it's dropping tomorrow. So the song's dropping tomorrow. Is the music video dropping tomorrow as well?
On the ninth.
Sorry,
okay. Video on Monday. Okay.
So the video, you have to see the video. It's.
You said it'll make bring your you to hair tears.
It'll bring you to
end.
Tears. It'll bring you to tears.
It's fantastic.
It's a very emotional song. It's a very emotional song. It's like, you know, that's why I love doing collaborations like this, where you know, you like, you know, I love doing the bangers for the shows, like the festival crowds where everyone's going crazy. But then when you can work with an artist that can convey and push out feelings that make you, you know, just happy to be alive and happy, you know, to feel love and all those great things in life. This is like, you know, what
that's
this song's all about, you know. So
yeah, you want it that way.
I cannot wait for people to hear.
Oh, Bean.
File.
All right, well, Steve, we know you have another appointment you have to get to. The book is really, really good, you guys. And if Kevin read some of it,
that tells you
how good it is. It's called Blue, the Color of Noise. Steve Aoki has a fascinating backstory and a fascinating career and a lot of deep thoughts, too. It's a really, really good book. Please check it out. It just came out this past Tuesday. It's available wherever you get yours. Steve, thanks for squeezing us in.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
I know we're talking to Dr. Drupinski with his weekly visit coming up right after 9. Kevin, you know how we do stories every once in a while where somebody gets diagnosed by a viewer at home when they see somebody on TV?
Yeah, and they call and say, hey, what about this?
Did you see that, Allie? That almost happened with Dr. Drew? People were like freaking out when he was on TV the other night.
about the about how swole he is.
Too swole?
He was too swole. Yeah, he had a big vein sticking out of his neck. And apparently a lot of people were really, really concerned about it. So if he survived that and he's still alive.
I think he did.
Maybe we wouldn't be the first they'd tell. But we'll find out if Dr. Drews answers the phone when we call coming up after 9. First, Allie's got what's happening here on a Thursday.
And it's our first live or dead guest.
That's right.
Wow. Let's be honest. You've played that game before with guests. This we know. All right, guys. 6 o'clock hour. We played a game for Tool tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do it again?
What?
The game is you just have to call. 1-800-520-1067.
Doesn't seem like a game.
No, it's really not.
Okay.
You're going to get a pair of tickets to Tool at the Staples Center on either October 20th or 21st.
Is it Heimer?
It is not Heimer. We don't know. Be caller 21 now at 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to see Tool. That's pretty cool, you guys.
Can't wait.
Please call now.
What was that for?
This whole Kevin Hart car accident thing is just... It's just icky. So, TMZ...
He's a bad man!
TMZ spoke to the witness that was first on the scene and called 911. Here's something a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The 911 caller thought Kevin was driving the car because he saw Kevin Hart's security guard remove him through the driver's side window. And then they walked up together to the roadside. The caller says when Kevin got up to the road, he looked right at him, then looked back at his security guard and said, "Who the F is this?" They then got into the Escalade and left.
It seems like it would be illegal to...
Leaving the scene of a crime.
Yeah. No, not just leaving, but even switching who was driving.
That is illegal.
Of course it's illegal.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm saying it seems like it would be, though.
It is. Of course it is.
It is, but if you're him and that's what did happen, allegedly, that you want to not get caught for that.
Sure.
So. You know what? Murder should be illegal.
I think that's on the illegal side. It should be, but
I mean, I'm assuming this is illegal, but I don't know for sure.
You don't know if switching spots in a driver's seat after an accident
sounds like it should be illegal,
but you're not sure.
I mean, I guess I've never heard that is the law.
Do you watch movies? Do you see any television shows where they do this because the person was either drunk or they're wanted for something? Mm-hmm. So they switch seats so that person doesn't get in
trouble. I did
this
when we were younger and my brother had a bunch of tickets and he was going 110 or something like that and got pulled over and we switched seats.
Before the cop got up to the car?
Before he pulled us. Yeah, it was crazy.
Wow.
Did you get away with it?
Yes.
So you had to switch seats while you guys were still moving?
Yes.
Whoa.
Wow. It was a little scary.
That's a bold move.
You bunch of lying, no good punks.
Yeah, you know when you fly past a cop and then you go, oh, he's way in the rearview mirror. And then all of a sudden he starts gaining.
During the game,
that's
you
not
guys
ideal.
Switched.
Yes.
Whoa.
All right, so let's say Kevin Hart was driving and then he leaves the scene of the accident. Mm-hmm. That sounds like two strikes
allegedly.
It's not great. CHP says when they arrived on the scene, the guy Jared was in the driver's seat. Here's where it gets even more odd. TMZ also obtained the 911 call from Kevin's Calabasas home at 2:13 a.m. An unknown female caller says Kevin is in really bad shape. She says he's been in an accident and needs someone to come get him. She said he's not coherent at all. He can't move and had injured something on his back. She then said the accident happened about 20 minutes ago, which is odd because the accident happened at 12:45 a.m. So,
why the f*** you lying?
This call at 2:13.
There are a lot of questions.
And
here.
We were saying the other day, well, if he had to make the 911 call, okay, that makes sense. He had to leave because he had no service. Okay, there was service because the Escalade came to pick him up and get him away from the scene of the accident. And then you assumed, okay, he was going to the hospital.
That's what I assumed. Yeah, if somebody picked him up, he's going to the hospital. But
I mean, an hour and a half later, he's still at his house.
By the way, our question has been answered. There absolutely was cell service at the crash site because there's another 911 call of somebody calling in who is within voice range of the people in the car.
And he didn't psychically tell his security to come pick him up from the accident.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
This is not going to shake out great.
Liar!
It's not great. But someone won from all of this, and her name is Kelly Clarkson. What?
How did she win from this?
Well, Kelly Clarkson's show premieres Monday, September 9th on NBC, but her first guest on the premiere episode, Kevin Hart.
Oh.
But don't you worry, because they got someone...
Val Kilmer?
They got someone pretty cool to step in. Someone that I'm sure Kelly Clarkson was like, wait a minute, why didn't we ask this guy in the first place?
Is it Heimer?
It is not Heimer. He goes by the name of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah! So
arguably better guest.
Absolutely. Yeah. No arguing. So he recently married his longtime partner, Lauren Hishan, in Kauai. He's on his honeymoon. So he tweeted, when my son, Kevin Hart, goes down with an injury, his big daddy steps in. I did leave my honeymoon early. Lauren approves because she loves Kelly. And now me and Kelly are new best friends. So Kelly Clarkson wins.
Yeah, that's great.
Which I've said for years.
I didn't realize Kelly's show would not be live, by the way. I didn't realize it was on a week tape delay.
I don't know if it's on a week tape delay or they have guest segments that they tape when they can get them type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, she...
I think if you're throwing Kelly Clarkson out to the daytime talk show, you don't do it live. You tape it.
Yeah, maybe not so the, first, yeah. the first. The
yeah.
first.
Okay. Run. I think she's new to it.
Literally.
My producer hat on.
Literally.
I'll check it out.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. See, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Maybe give her some time.
Guys, Brad Pitt, he's made some real changes in his life. He's sharing his journey to sobriety in a very revealing interview in the New York Times. He admits he had a drinking problem. And after he split up with his wife, Angelina Jolie, he decided to tackle it head on so he could responsibly parent their 6 children. He said that he struggled emotionally post-split up, obviously, like most people do, and he joined Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, I had taken things as far as I could take it, so I removed my drinking privileges. You had all these men sitting around being really open and honest in a way I had never heard before. It was this safe space where there was little judgment and therefore little judgment of yourself. So that's good.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question. Anonymous works for most people.
I have a question. They're supposed to be anonymous, but if you're in that group,
and yeah, Brad you're going Pitt's home, there. You're like, honey, Brad Pitt was
seriously.
Oh
I know it's supposed to be anonymous, but Brad Pitt's in my AA.
I mean, but.
Don't tell anyone,
but. But I think if that did get out, that would be a packed AA meeting. So maybe it didn't get out. You're not supposed to. People take it very seriously.
Yeah, he correct. Showed up at the Kanye West Sunday service this last week as well.
Oh, so dear. He's still drinking.
The Kool-Aid.
Wow.
Sure.
Wasn't ever going to mention this. Anybody see video that was entitled... Kanye West eats his ear boogers?
No.
Yeah.
I saw that it existed, but I decided to not click on it.
Do you have to go to, like, Brazzers for that?
Yeah, you do. I have a password where you get into a, like, Brazzers below
so
area.
Gross.
Yeah, he dug into his ear canal, just looked at it.
Don't finish the story.
Stuck it in his mouth.
Okay, yeah.
That dude, I mean.
Okay.
It's hard to make it the worst thing you've ever done. But eating your ear boogers is up there.
It's up there. But
guys, can we call it ear wax? Do we have to go with boogers?
Well, when you're eating it.
It's ear wax, though, is what it is. It's not boogers.
It sounds like someone eats their ear boogers.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody wants to clarify what he's eating.
I see what you're doing right there. Good Lord. All right, you guys, some birthdays for you. Brad Wilk, we loved him in Rage Against the Machine. Audioslave, currently love him in Prophets of Rage. They are playing at the Mayan September 11th and 12th. Michael Keaton. Oh, God, I love him so much. Rose McGowan and Bob Newhart. Why doesn't anyone love Bob Newhart the way I love Bob Newhart?
I do. I'm right there with you. Okay. He's a legend.
God bless him. 90 years old.
I feel like we've been sleeping on the job. We've talked to Dr. Drew many different times, but he's never brought up opioids, and that's a weird thing.
Well, that's on him. As far as I'm concerned, that's just a physician who's shirking his duty.
Right?
Hey, Dr. Drupinski, how are you, sir?
Hey, never brought up opiates. Okay, well, let's talk about it.
Hey, happy belated, first of all.
Yes, happy belated. Birthday. How was your birthday?
It was nice, and thank you, Bean, for posting a picture of me.
Oh, it was a picture of Mike Pence, but okay.
Yeah, same thing. Same-o. Hey, I mentioned a few minutes ago when we were talking about you coming on that you had a lot of very concerned people on social media after one of your weekend television appearances that you had worked out so much that your neck was going to explode. Are you okay? Was there a problem?
God. Yes, I'm okay.
What happened?
You too.
What happened?
He's just too buff.
So, right. So because I've leaned out being on my no carbs, no grain, no sugar diet, some of the superficial veins come to the surface, and I've got an anatomical anomaly on the right side of my in my neck and my external jugular.
Sure.
And people mistook it for my internal jugular. It's just a small vein, but because I lift weights and I do a lot of pressing, that thing has become rather big. And on that particular evening, when I turned my head and yelled at Greg Gutfeld, it would sort of enlarge, and people thought my head was going to explode.
Whoa.
So viewers write in, they tweeted you, but I think, your wife was also like, Drew, what's up with your neck?
Oh, absolutely. She's like, shouldn't you have that checked? I've had it for 15 years. And then she tried to respond as me, and I'm like, no, let me do that. But how bizarre is it that we live in a world where the participants in social media today feel such privilege and control that they feel like they want to intrude into your very body function.
You know what, though, Doc? That's the opposite way to look at it.
I would say, hey, people care about you enough that they would point
that. You should look at the tweets. They were not like caring. They were righteous indignation.
Yeah.
Not to play devil's advocate, but I have said this before on air. I know people who are on television who got emails about lymph nodes that look swollen, mm-hmm. and they went in and got them checked, and thank God they did.
I have absolutely emailed people that I'm like, hey, that mole, get that checked out.
Were they physicians?
That's a good point.
Everyone thinks they know how to practice medicine, and that is disturbing.
Practicing medicine is easy, Dr.
Right?
Come on.
Yeah,
All right.
We took out a kidney earlier.
let's talk about opioids, and I know that we have talked about it a lot, but the reason we brought it up this time is a story I'm sure you covered on your KABC show, which is the case in Oklahoma where a judge held Johnson & Johnson, the company responsible for making opioids in that state, a $527 million penalty was imposed on them for their part in the opioid crisis. And I guess what we were wondering is this the right way to go? Is the company that makes the pills responsible for people who misuse the pills? And isn't this just like trying to blame people who make guns for people who then buy guns and shoot people, which I'm against?
Correct. And this is the debate that goes on. They were fined under a tort category of public nuisance, believe it or not, not sinister per se, category. And it's probably going to get appealed. But there are drug companies for sure that were duplicitous in all of this, and they should be held responsible.
Why were
people
they? How?
What, how?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the one that really got me was the makers of OxyContin, who I'm going to tell you, the pain management world thought that company was literally the sort of the promised land. There was a theological energy, a theological enthusiasm around prescribing pain medicines in my profession. It was totally nuts.
Right.
I've been fighting back on it for years. But they saw that drug company as their handmaiden in this great crusade. That company never did anything other than what my profession asked for, until it became clear that there was a problem. And they seemed to double down on their marketing efforts then, and for that is unconscionable.
Meaning that they weren't specific enough about the side effects? Is that what you mean, doctor?
What's that?
When you say they doubled down on their marketing efforts, meaning they didn't spend enough time talking about how addictive it was?
They put in more effort into getting doctors to prescribe when they should be going the other direction, and they had various means of doing so. And so to me, that shows a sinister consciousness or a lack of regard for the well-being of the patients. And to me, where companies did that, they should be taken to the mat. But the crazy part is, you guys bring up, it was my profession that perpetrated this, as we have always done in every opioid epidemic. The first one, as I've explained before, was just after the Civil War. And literally thousands of doctors were eventually jailed because of that one. And we got around the 1990s, and then we started finding and jailing doctors for inadequate treatment of pain, and it came.
I'm sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
I saw a story about the doctor in Florida that was prescribing 1,000 OxyContin pills a day or something like that?
Listen, if you take the position as a professional discipline that pain is what the patient says it is, and pain control is what the patient says it is, It's a very small step to, what, sir, would you like to control your pain? What combination of pills do you say you need to be in control of your pain? Because what you say goes. And then there's another small step from there to, you don't even really need a doctor, just a menu. And you come in and you tell me what you need, and this doctor will prescribe it for you. Because it's what you say it is. Whatever you say it is what it is.
And I see that a lot with these like pain management places that aren't
necessarily
doctors.
That's all been curtailed.
Yeah.
That's been massively curtailed.
Good.
Okay. Are there a lot of doctors being arrested, charged, in jail right now in this country?
I actually went to Washington and was in a meeting with Jeff Sessions, and he said, he goes, we're going after these people. And he goes, and I'll tell you something. We're going to make a difference. We're going to turn this thing around. I was inspired when he said that. And I'll be damned if 6 months later things hadn't turned around. He went after a lot of people hard, and now they're going after the drug companies.
They're also going after the manufacturers and the people who deliver it as well.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, everyone is duplicitous. It's particularly after it became so obvious what's going on. Now, we've actually gone too far, as we always do, where people who have legitimate pain control needs are having difficulty getting their pain meds. My position on that is, okay, it's a little more cumbersome. They'll get it. Don't worry. Please don't panic. You'll get your pain meds if you really need it. We just have more documentation and more trips to the pharmacy. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it's because of this horrible epidemic. And by the way, the final chapter of the epidemic is what you see on the streets.
Yeah.
That when you cut oral opiate addicts off from their pills, they go to heroin, and heroin takes you to the street. You are a homeless person in very short order once you start heroin. And that's the final chapter now that's on our streets.
Well, then typhus.
And typhus, right. Yeah. I'm going to ask
when typhus comes after
which
that.
Which is the final.
Yeah, that's the final.
One final look.
Why don't
look.
You ever talk about any of these things?
He doesn't. Because he's too busy talking about how buff he is. All right, listen. My final question, Dr. Drew. I just read an article this morning about the opioid crisis has now hit Australia. They have twice as many deaths now as they did 10 years ago. And the number that was given in that article referenced 400,000 deaths in the United States since this current opioid crisis. Does that number sound even possible to you?
Oh, it sounds right to me.
Oh,
it sounds
my
right
God.
To me. And because they're doing nothing about the mental health component, no active campaign for the mental health component of our homeless crisis, all these people are going to die too. The current campaign is give them a place to live. They'll be fine. Just let them keep doing their drugs. If you, a drug addict, either goes to an institution, a jail, or dies, you take away institution and jail, you take away all the drug laws, you are committing homicide. And so these people are all going to die too if something very aggressive isn't done.
I want you guys to think about that number, 400,000 Americans dead from this opioid crisis. It's astonishing.
And you know what the horrible thing is? Everyone gets on with their drug addicts. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Addiction strikes the young, the best, the brightest.
Amen.
They make them do horrible things once they're in it. These are wonderful individuals that are stricken by a horrible illness.
This could start with back pain. Like this, it doesn't. It just keeps snowballing.
Oh yeah, you can take it like the doctor prescribes.
I can't tell you how many patients who are in recovery, doing well, call me and say they have back pain. I say to them, please, whatever you do, do not tell a physician you have back pain. Mike Starr was dead 2 weeks later. I begged him not to tell a doctor.
Dr. Drew is on Middays Live, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. He has a bunch of great podcasts, by the way. You can catch up on it at drdrew.com. And don't forget, you can get a physician who won't bring you OxyContin in the comfort of your own home with the Heal app or the App Store or Google Play is where you want to download that. Dr. Drew, happy belated birthday again. Thank you so much for jumping on. We really
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 942.
And we have time for one more look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Remember when we first heard that different artists were not allowing cell phones at their gigs? And we were like, wait, how's that going to work? How are you doing it? Essentially, they want you to go to their show. They want you to be in the moment. They want you to enjoy and be present. They don't want to look out and see a bunch of cameras up filming them.
Right.
Just enjoy it.
And so, this is where the Yonder bag came
from,
right?
They've got the Yonder pouch. So you stick it in the pouch. You don't have the phone the whole time. You can go to the designated area if there's an emergency, you need to check your phone, whatever. Otherwise, you pick up your phone at the end of the show.
I am nothing without my following.
Well, there is one woman, not a fan of this at all. She recently went to a show, and she had a lot of things to say about it. And I just want to thank listener Ann Hansen, who tagged me on this post, because this is a two-parter. The first, we'll just hear from this fan who is not a fan, Jack White.
Okay, so we are at
stupid Jack White concert because Kyle wanted to go, and I am shook to my core. It's a no phone concert, so you have to put your phone in these little baggies to lock them up. I'm in a designated phone area right now, which is the only reason I can be on my phone, which is like far away. And the worst part is you have to walk through the gross designated smoking area to get to the designated phone area. It's ridiculous. F*** you, Jack White.
Not a fan, right?
I mean, don't go.
So I was just laughing at this video, and then I realized she had tagged me on the post on official Jack White Live, and he captioned it, F you, Jack White. He posted this video. It brought me so much joy to see that he saw that and was like, okay, that's great. Let me repost this with the words, F you, Jack White. You guys. That's just good stuff.
Yeah, agreed.
That's just good stuff.
And she's a moron.
Well, and a few of the comments were very funny. Like, if you stopped that woman from being in the concert, thank you. You
right.
You did everyone that was there a huge service.
Yeah, she didn't even want to be there.
No. What's her boyfriend that invited her? She didn't want to go. So dumb. You guys, I mentioned this earlier, and I'm going to tell you, I haven't stopped thinking about it. If you couldn't score tickets to Elton John's farewell tour, suckers, right? Kevin, you went.
I did.
I went. One of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. He played for like 12 hours.
It was amazing.
It was unbelievable. He played for like 4, but still, it was awesome. You do have another chance to hear his songs live in concert. You know
how they
sometimes do shows at the Hollywood Bowl, or they do it at the Greek, where they show a movie at the same time as an orchestra on the stage.
Yep.
One of the best ones is the Halloween show with
Nightmare
our friend.
Before Christmas?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Danny Elfman.
With Danny Elfman. Thank you, Kevin. So they show it while it's happening. It's amazing. People sing along. It's a good time. Well, they are doing that with Rocket Man, which, let's be honest, did I see it 4 times in the theater? Yes.
4 times?
Have I also watched it as well since it just came out last week? Yes, I have as well. I love that movie. I love Taron Egerton. I loved everything about it. So the fact that they are going to do this on the screen at the Greek Theater
for, I'm screaming,
one night only, October 17th, with live musical accompaniment by the Hollywood Symphony Orchestra, each song being played live to picture in sync with the film. With the soundtrack.
NSYNC is going to perform?
No,
isn't that crazy?
At the same time with the film. Tiny Dancer, Honky Cat, Your Song. Guess what else, you guys? Elton John and Taron Egerton are going to be there, and they're going to sing some songs, too.
Yeah!
You guys, honestly.
I have broken more Elton John records. He seems to have a lot of records. And we beat. And I, by the way, I don't have a musical instrument. I don't have a guitar or an organ. No organ. Elton has an organ.
Okay. All right. Sir,
you're ruining the whole story. Rocket Man live in concert on sale tomorrow. It's happening at the LA Greek Theater for one night only, October 17th.
Is it Heimer?
It is not Heimer. It's Elton John.
This is David Hasselhoff. Hi. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Oh, well, tickets go on sale tomorrow. So just go to the website for the
Greek
Theater.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there?
Well, it's AXS.com.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
just
go
down there. Tickets are on sale tomorrow, so we don't have tickets. I'm going to be online tomorrow trying to get
them. Yeah, and where? Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
I don't know because I'm not in charge of hotels, but possibly. I don't know if something.
Major
makes...
fan of K-Rock.
Okay, thank you.
I love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No, they're not playing
again.
There.
It's Rocket Man. It's the movie happening at the same time with an orchestra. Elton John and Taron Egerton.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert? Do you know?
Well, probably like 2.5 hours, 3 hours. I don't know, depending on traffic. I'm not sure. God damn, he's got a lot of questions.
Sure
that
does.
Guy
for a guy who's probably not going.
Hey, Ali, can I? Do you mind if I interrupt with some breaking news?
And when do the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
I think doors are at 6:30. The show's at 8. What?
Got so many questions.
Yes, Bean, you want to break in with something?
And now, breaking news, Boone.
You've been following this story all day.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
To rock, right. You've been bringing us this story all day long with the questions surrounding the Kevin Hart auto accident. And TMZ has just posted this. Kevin Hart was definitely a passenger in the car crash that landed him in the hospital. We know that because our law enforcement sources tells us the physical evidence proves his friend was behind the wheel. Jared Black was indisputably driving early Sunday morning. We are told he was trapped in the driver's seat in such a way that firefighters had to literally cut the wreckage around him to eradicate him from the vehicle, and that he had injuries consistent with the steering wheel impact. We were suggesting maybe wasn't the case.
Why did Kevin Hart leave?
That's a great question.
That led us to think,
and
well, maybe.
TMZ is the one that posted that the witness said that he saw the guy pull him out of the driver's side.
Right. This is a conflicting story to previous reports. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we
still more questions.
Still don't know what happened. It's weird that he didn't leave if he was in such bad shape and go immediately to the hospital instead of go home and then have somebody call an hour and a half later for an ambulance. A lot of things still don't add up. But this is the latest with what TMZ is saying, and they generally are pretty dialed into stuff like this.
I'm with that guy. Good Lord. By the way, you guys, just a little Ryan Murphy news.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
American Horror Story comes out September 18th.
Isn't that creepy?
1984. It is based on 1980s horror movies. It looks fantastic. But that's just one thing that Ryan Murphy's up to. He has revealed his next slate of originals for Netflix. He's creating a 10-episode A Chorus Line miniseries, a limited drama about the iconic designer Halston with Ewan McGregor already attached to star, and just a 10-part documentary about the artist Andy Warhol.
Is it Heimer?
I mean, if Ryan Murphy heard about a guy named Heimer, he would write a movie about it.
And it would be good.
It would be amazing, and we would all love it. God, he's so good at everything, you guys.
He sure is.
Unbelievable. And did you hear about this Handmaid's Tale news, Bean?
Is this about the new book?
It's about a movie. Margaret Atwood's follow-up to The Handmaid's Tale, dubbed The Testaments. Is headed to the big screen.
What?
Yes. MGM and Hulu announced how the sequel will become an important extension of The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, I'm here for it.
The Handmaid's universe?
It's going to be out. The Testaments. Here's the thing. I don't understand this.
The book's not even out yet.
Yeah, Testaments will land September 10th and takes place 15 years after the ending of the original Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
September 10th of what year?
This year. It's coming out this month. In a week. It's coming out in a week.
But the book isn't even out?
Yeah, the book is coming out in a week.
Oh, I was going to say, how are they getting the movie done before that book?
Yeah, no. The movie news is new. So they're going to make a movie based on the book rather than making another Hulu series is what it sounds like I hear you saying.
Remember when I said, have you heard about this story? Mm-hmm. Glad you had.
Yeah. But I'm still confused whether Spider-Man fits into the Handmaid's universe now. Is he still allowed to be in Gilead?
And who survived from Thor's big thing?
Yeah.
That's a great question, too.
I don't know if they're allowed to use Spider-Man in this universe.
And who is driving?
Jared
we will Black. Tune in.
Is it Heimer?
It might have been Heimer. Oh, Lord. Some birthdays for you guys. Brad Wilk, drummer for Rage Against the Machine, Audioslave, currently Prophets of Rage, who will be performing September 11th and 12th at the Mayan. Michael Keaton, Rose McGowan, and again, if you have a chance, just Google book interview nightmare with birthday boy Bob Newhart. It is one of the funniest things you will ever watch. Happy birthday, Bob Newhart. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie. A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Things you saw in your Nextdoor app.
Oh, geez.
Keep it 100 because it's Friday. We've got Tool tickets and comedian Anthony Jeselnik will join